Let's keep moving. We are joined right now by a journalist for ESPN, host of Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, and the MMA Reporters. And as I mentioned last time, a friend of the program, Ariel Helwani is my guest. Ariel, what's up, my man? How are you?
Jim, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
Good, good. Great to have you. So there's a lot of different places where I could start right now, but before we get to MMA, let's talk NBA. For those who do not know, you are a New York Knicks fan. I know you work your way through the process of emotions, but take me back to Tuesday. Before that draft lottery, when the Knicks were tied for the best chance of winning the lottery, you broke out your Ewing high tops. What kind of emotions were you feeling?
Oh, my gosh, Jim. That was a roller coaster of emotions. I woke up that day at around 6:30 with my kids, and I swear my chest was hurting. I felt tightness. I was lightheaded. I was so nervous because, as you know, the last two decades have been abysmal. They've been a nightmare. I'm a long-suffering Knicks fan. I've been a fan since 89-90 season. And the fact that they brought back Ewing gave me mixed emotions because this franchise has essentially spit in the face of Patrick Ewing. They wouldn't even give him an interview, and now all of a sudden they're going to call upon him to save the day. So it made me feel a little funky, and I also believe that you can't continue to disrespect the basketball gods and hope that they repay you. Of course, it never got worse than when they dragged Charles Oakley, the legend, out of MSG. So I felt funny about the whole thing, but I was trying to stay positive. I'm typically a negative guy, and I tried to call upon all my good luck charms. I brought out the Ewing high tops. I brought out my lucky socks, my Ewing and Stark socks. I brought it all out. And once we got to the point where the Cavs were out of the equation, once we got to the point that the Suns were out of the equation, I was like, oh my God, we're the last 14% team left. Then fourth pick, Lakers are out of the equation, and I swear to God, I thought it was going to happen. I truly believed at that moment that there's no way that they're going to allow Zion to go to either New Orleans, that, you know, that dead weight of a franchise, or Memphis. And then, of course, the nightmare strikes. But I will say, after 10 minutes or so of grieving, it occurred to me that the prodigal son from my home country of Canada, Rowan Barrett's son, Rowan Barrett, who once starred for the Canadian national team, is going to be the guy to help turn around this franchise, and it couldn't have worked out better. So I believe in R.J. Barrett. I hope they pick him, and I think he's going to be the first step in turning this whole bad boy around.
Ariel Helwani, great job, man. Thanks for coming on. Have a great day. See you next time. No, that was that good of an answer, though. Well done. Well done. So we'll see. Maybe the days of everybody laughing at the Knicks and Knicks fans are finally over. All right.
It's over, Jim. It's over. And guess what? I don't mean to interrupt, but we're tired of being the laughing stock. You know, even the network that I work for, I'm tired of seeing that kid crying. Those days are over. I understand Dolan's still there. I understand Mills is still there. But I swear to God, on June 20th, we're gonna draft R.J. Barrett. Then on around July 4th or 5th, KD's going to come. And then Kyrie will be the other shoe to fall. And then we've got Knox and Mitchell Robinson, who I'm very high on. Those days are over. Mark my words. Pat O'Brien said it. May 12th, 1985, when they got the first pick, basketball is back in New York City, my friends. That's what he said when Dave the Busher was pumping his fist. Mark my words. Basketball is back in New York City.
Ariel Helwani joining us on the program. If I had time, I would ask you how much you trust Kyrie Irving based on what you saw from him in Boston. But yes. Let's get to the UFC. Now, before we get to the upcoming cards, what did you make of Jessica Andrade and how that fight ended Saturday night with Rose?
It was honestly heartbreaking to watch because Rose has never looked better in her career, and that includes when she beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk twice, who many people consider to be the greatest strawweight of all time. She looked so good in that first round. I mean, that was a master class. It was virtuoso. Her jab, her quickness, she was on point. She was confident. She had been out for 13 months. A lot had been made of the time off. A lot had been made of the fact that she was coming off of a neck injury. A lot had been made of the fact that she was fighting in enemy territory in Brazil against a Brazilian. I mean, everything was against her, and she looked incredible. And then, of course, she gets slammed on her head. And so initially, it's frightening. It's scary. I mean, that could have turned out to be disastrous for her, career-threatening for her, life-threatening, potentially also disastrous for the sport. Thankfully, she's okay. Andrade, her nickname in English, she's Brazilian, her nickname in English means pile driver. Like, that's something that she goes to. In fact, she tried to do it earlier in the fight as well. And so I don't begrudge Andrade. I don't take anything away from her. What she did was 100% legal. She did not do anything illegal there. The problem was Rose held on to the Kimura. She held on to the arm. And because of that, she wasn't able to tuck in her head. And that's why she landed on her head. So it was kind of a textbook mistake on Rose's part. I feel bad for her, but Andrade is now the champion. I hope Rose doesn't retire. I know she sort of alluded to that. I understand the pressure that she was under. I think she'll take some time off and come back in maybe 6 to 8 months. And I want to see her keep fighting. She's in her mid-20s. she looked that good in the first round. I want to see how much better she can be.
You know, one thought about that move. The move, and you're right, it's really scary to witness, but it is legal because there was an arc to it. That said, is that a rule that should be reviewed?
So that has come up in the last couple of days. Look, you cannot pick someone up and literally spike them. You cannot do that. But why this one is different is because Rose kind of contributed to it because she was holding on to the arm. That's the big difference here. So if Andrade would have just picked her up and, like, pile drove her like the Undertaker, that would have been a problem. That would have been illegal. That's a spike. In this case, because she was holding on to it, you kind of have to put part of the blame on her, on Rose, because she was holding on to that arm. We have seen title fights end via KO slam to the head like that, like a body slam, if you will. We've never quite seen it land that flush, and that's why it was so scary. But, I mean, wow, we've never had a like, serious injury in the 26 year of the UFC. I'm always sort of feeling that, you know, the sport is one serious career life-threatening injury away from really being in trouble. Thankfully, that did not come May 11th.
Ariel Helwani joining us on the program. UFC Fight Night is this Saturday. I know it's a card that interests you. What about that card catches your attention?
Okay, so there's a few things here. Like, this card has totally flown under the radar, and part of that is because there's just a lot of cards right now, and there's a lot going on not only in the UFC, but Bellator, PFL. There's just a lot of MMA on television, and you're coming off a pay-per-view, and a lot of fans are excited about the summer. They just booked Ferguson Cerrone. Nate Diaz is coming back in August. They just booked that as well, but I like this fight for a couple reasons. I like this card for a couple reasons. Number one, the main event, Kevin Lee versus Rafael Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos has lost two in a row. He's a former champion at 155. He knocked out Anthony Pettis way back when to win that championship. He beat him up, but then got knocked out by Eddie Alvarez to lose the belt. And he's a tough guy, but he's lost two in a row. And he's lost two in a row against wrestlers, Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman. Well, guess what? Kevin Lee is a wrestler. And what's so interesting about Kevin Lee in this case is that he's moving up for the first time to 170 pounds. He has fought at 155 for his entire UFC career, but he is literally depleting himself before the fight. I mean, he is so scary looking on the scale. He has missed weight. He has had issues cutting to 155. And so in this particular case, he's saying, all right, let me see how I look at 170 against the guy who used to fight at 155. So it's not, you know, a welterweight who's walking around at 200. But he's also part of this charge to try and open up a 165-pound weight class. So the UFC weight classes, in case you don't know, are 155, 170, 185, 205. And this is somewhat of an archaic model. This is the model that they were using back in the 2000s when there just weren't a lot of fighters on the roster. But I think they should do 155, 165, 175, 185. And Lee, Khabib, Donald Cerrone, Jorge Masvidal, Ben Askren, Cowboy Cerrone, Rafael Dos Anjos, all these guys would love to fight at 165, but for whatever reason, your buddy Dana White doesn't want to make it happen. So Lee is trying to push that. I think if he looks good, that's sort of more fodder for the opportunity to push it. And so I'm wondering if he wins on Saturday and goes on the mic and says it's time for this weight class to finally open up.
Ariel Helwani joining us on the program. All right, so how about a quick thought about Conor McGregor? He has not fought in a cage. He has not fought in a cage, I said, since that loss to Khabib in October. And that was only his only UFC fight in the last 2.5 years. All of the headlines about him have had nothing to do with fighting. Very few of them have been positive. Where do you think Conor is right now at this point in his career?
So we recall that, you know, he made that announcement that he was going to retire a few weeks back. I mean, that wasn't true. He's just at odds with the UFC. They couldn't agree on a fight. They couldn't agree on terms, financial terms. They've changed the pay-per-view structure. But he's not retired. No one believes he's retired. That's not a thing that's happening. They tried to actually get him back July 27th. They had reserved Madison Square Garden for July 27th. With the caveat that he fight on the card. They didn't want to go to Madison Square Garden without him, and they had talked about him potentially fighting Anthony Pettis. Pettis told me on Monday that they offered him the fight, that Dana White himself called them and said, we want you to fight Conor McGregor, and he was down, of course. Also talked about him fighting Justin Gaethje or Cowboy Cerrone. The fight did not materialize, and Conor isn't returning on July 27th. They do hope that he'll return later this year. They hope that he can get back on track, win one fight, and then eventually try to do that Khabib rematch, and that would be one of the biggest fights in the history of the UFC, if not the biggest fight from a financial standpoint. But they're slowly but surely talking again. They're in communication. Dana White and him haven't had their face-to-face meeting that Dana has talked about wanting to have for quite some time. So hopefully they can kind of get back on track. But the thing about Conor is he, unlike anyone in the history of this sport, in the history of the UFC, marches to the beat of his own drum. He doesn't need them. He kind of works on his own time. They work on his time. I feel at this juncture, they need him more than he needs them, in the sense that he's making a lot of money. In 5 years, that will change if he blows his money or has some bad, you know, financial deals. But right now, he's making money from his whiskey deal. He's making money from his, you know, endorsements. He's made a lot of money thus far. So he's in no real rush to come back. But I do think he wants to fight again, and I wouldn't be surprised if he fights towards the tail end of this year.
He is a journalist for ESPN, the host of Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, and the MMA Reporters. Ariel Helwani, our guest. Ariel, great job. Really well done. Good to have you back. Thanks so much.
And Jim, remember, basketball is back in New York City. When they win the championship in the next 5 years, play this clip. You'll say that I was right.
You know I will. You know I will. I won't have to, but you know I will. Ariel, take care, man. Good job. Knick fan, all about it. They will win it all within 5 years. Play this clip, and you will say that I'm right.